When what? Share what about what?
Your, is there any experiences? Are there any experiences you have? You want to share of these 30 years of bhakti in Radhakund and Vrindavan, if it is not too personal?
It's about me, so it has to be personal. Yeah, this is September 8th or 9th, and on this day, 1987, we arrived in Vrindavan. And we're praying to Radharani and Krishna that we could stay in Vrindavan. And so, somehow they were very kind, and they allowed us to stay there in Vrindavan. We stayed 15 years in Vrindavan, from 87 until 2002. And by living in Vrindavan and continually praying to Radha and Krishna, because here you can easily feel that I'm living in Vrindavan and I'm living with Radha and Krishna. Because this is their place. They live in Vrindavan, they never leave Vrindavan. Our Shastras tell us all of these things. Whether they're visible or not, that depends on our love. But it is a fact, undeniable fact, that they're living here invisibly, and they can become visible if we have prema. But they're not living in Delhi invisibly. But they could become visible by prema. Anywhere someone has prema and Krishna wants to give his darshan, he can grant his darshan. But Braj, since you're asking what's my subjective, you know, experience, 30 years living in Braj, really feel, I see now how Vrijvasis, they often say Radharani Maya. Radharani's my mother. And Giriraj, they don't talk about father so much, they talk about mother. Because Indians in general and worldwide, too much love for the mother. I guess she's a main player in the upraising of the children. So you talk about Mother Radha, Radha Maya, Radharani Maya. Sometimes my Vrijvasis that live in Radhakund, I don't know them, they're young men. They meet me on the street and maybe they're practicing English. They say, oh, Baba, your Radharani is really blessing, Radharani Maya is really blessing you. So they're mixing Hindi with, you know, with the English. It's very sweet. So that's what one feels, that they identify that Radharani is our mother, and they don't really say Krishna is our father, but they say Giriraj Baba. So the male figure in their life representing, you could say, grandfather, Baba, or father is Giriraj and Radharani. So very early on in our stay in Vrindavan, because these are the main, in the psyche and the hearts of Vrijvasis, these are the two main Ishtadevas, Devatas, especially on this side, Radhakund side. If you go to Barsana, no one's going to talk about Giriraj Baba. In Varsana, they'll only talk about Larali. Larali, maybe Lal also, but mostly Larali. It's only Radharani. But here we have Yugal, because we have Radharani and Radhakund, and we have Giriraj, Krishna, and we also have Shamakund. But especially, even in Vrindavan and Govardhan and Radhakund, this area, it's Giriraj Baba and Radharani, especially here. And I must have been destined to come here because although my original prayer was to live in Radhakund, only when it's the time is right and if it's your fortune and Krishna wants to allow you to live in Vrindavan or Radhakund or anywhere in the Dham, it will come to pass. So in 1977, which is 40 years ago, we first came to Vrindavan and Radhakund. 1977, we had darshan of Radhakund. And that's when we prayed, oh, so beautiful and so tranquil and so spiritually powerful here and meditative and concentrated on Radharani. And there's not much of a mood of, there's no mood of selling here, and there's no mood of business here, and there's no mood of making money, or it's a very slow and quiet little village. Whereas even in 77, Vrindavan was starting to bustle and hustle with all of ISKCON influence and foreigners coming in and whatnot, and guest houses and lots of construction, very busy. Still to this day, it's so busy over there. So I prayed, Radharani, I would love to live here someday. Then it went on, that prayer was sent. So somehow we end up in Vrindavan in 87, 10 years, whatever, 20 years, whatever it is. Some years later, 30 years later, whatever. And then we're living in Vrindavan, although we wanted to live at Radhakund, the time wasn't right and the circumstances weren't correct. So it wasn't happening. Everything happens by Krishna's mercy and arrangement. So we did different sevas and activities there, preaching, writing, doing bhajan in Vrindavan. And then finally, I was feeling too much missing Radhakund. Oh, what I was saying, when I was in Vrindavan, very early on in Vrindavan, around 1990, when I was living in Radha Damodara, I wanted to worship Radha and Krishna Murtis, because I had previously done so in 1977 in America, and Radha Gokulananda in Berkeley, I was doing bathing and dressing. And then this is 77, and now it's 87, and 10 years went by, and I thought, oh, I'd like to get some. But then I didn't want to buy, and I didn't want, if they come to me, or they, whatever. So then somehow I praying, and then some Baba, he gave me, came to the Sevakunj, the Prabhupada's rooms, and he said, I have this Govardhan Shila. Why don't you take? I said, no, I want Radha Krishna. I don't want Govardhan. I wasn't particularly like that way with Govardhan. So I said no. And Govardhan went back. And then again about a week later he came back. But this time he was also asking before, I want to give you. This time he bought Giraj and he bought Asan and he bought Poshak and clothing and everything. And he said, Giraj is staying here with you and he's come to stay with you and you do puja and you don't worry, everything's all right. He'll take care of everything and don't worry. I said, well, you know, okay, this is the way my prayers are answered. So in this way, you come to Vrindavan and you feel that you're directly living with Radha and Krishna and they're directly hearing your prayers and they're directly moving you and controlling you in the way they want to control you. Especially if you're in that kind of mood. If you come to Vrindavan and say, we want to get deities and you go down with some money in your pocket and pick out some and buy them, that's very nice. That's very good, but this way where you're more in a mood of sharanagati and dependence on Radha and Krishna, and especially what else do you have? You're alone in Vrindavan. Then Radha and Krishna, they may look your way and may take your account into consideration, let's say, your interest. So then Giraj was there worshipping, and then once Giraj comes in your life, then you want to come many times to do Govardhan Parikrama, which means Radhakund Snan. And again, reawakening your interest and desire to live in Radhakund. And wondering and waiting, how is it working? When will it work? And finally, just one day, I said, I can't. You know, I was spending many kartiks here from 94, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 2001, 6-8 years coming for Kartik and Gopal Mandir at Radhakund. I'm going back to Vrindavan. Then I thought, oh, this time I want to go for Kartik and in 2002, and I stay. And I was living in one place in Vrindavan. Landlady's name was Radharani. And she's a Brahmin, wife of a Brahmin. Her husband died. And I was there 5 years. Continuously in that ashram, single room. So this older lady, Radharani, she said, why are you going there? That's not a good place, you know. Radhakund. It's all, they're not civilized there. Very uncultured there. I said, no, but Giriraj is there. He said, no, Giriraj is here. Giriraj is in your room. What's the thing? And I said, no, but Radhakund is very special. What's Radhakund? We have Govindakund. We have so many kunds, Ramakund. We have many kunds here. I said, I'm sorry, I have to go. She said, no, please don't go. This is very bad. You won't like it. I guarantee you won't like it there. What are you giving up everything in Vrindavan to go there? That's, you're crazy, you know? So Radharani is personally preaching to me not to go to Radhakund. Radharani is personally preaching. She's saying, stay in Vrindavan. Stay here and do your seva. And I say, oh, Radharani, I have to go. So then I left. I moved to Radhakund by her grace. So experience, lots of experience. But I would say that living outside of Vrindavan as a devotee or trying to be a devotee, there are certain, you're trying to purify your consciousness and lifestyle, purify your consciousness, change and purify and modify your lifestyle to make it very sattvic and pure and God-centered. And often the struggle is with the senses, the hara, nidra, maitun, bhayam, eating and sleeping, mating and defending, controlling our anger and our passions and desires. So we have to fight. Prabhupada said it's a war on maya. So that goes on everywhere. Every devotee is struggling in this samsara and trying to do bhakti. But when one comes to braj, then that struggle goes on also. But then if he crosses some distance in that ocean of samsara, then he enters the ocean of subtle body, the ocean of the mind and the ego. So there, this is, Vrindavan is very good for really cleaning everything out of your ego. So that these are some of the things that one will learn by staying here a long time. How we have certain assumptions or conceptions or visions or ideas of what we are, who we think we are, and what we feel ourselves to be or what we think ourselves to be. But when you come in Vrindavan, then you're exposed. You know, you're stripped, so to speak, mentally and psychically, and your inner core of your self-esteem and independence is quite challenged and tested in Vrindavan. So you have to surrender. Vrindavan is called Tapabhumi. It's very hot, it's very cold, it's very difficult. And it's called Siddhabhumi. You can attain Siddhi here. But obviously, it's not easy. So living in Vrindavan is a great teaching, a great purification, a great teaching, and a great opportunity to hear the voice of Radha and Krishna. Great opportunity to hear the voice of Radha and Krishna and try to take indication from the subtle messages that the environment gives. Because in Vrindavan, you're living not only with Radha and Krishna, but an entire entourage, entire environment, which is all connected to them. The land, the earth, the dhuli, brajaduli, the trees and birds and animals and people and everything. And they're all somehow ambassadors of spiritual guidance. They're all pointing the way to Radha and Krishna and teaching in their own ways. The dogs are not dogs, and the birds are not birds, and the trees are not trees. Outside of Vrindavan, the dogs are dogs, the trees are trees, the fleas are fleas, and the bees are bees. But in Vrindavan, they have this external form of insects and birds and fish and turtles and beasts, cats and dogs, animals. But they inside, they're devotees. Some of them very elevated devotees. fallen sadhus or babajis or whomever, they can come in this place because they're very, very attached to Vrindavan, very, very attached to devotees, very, very attached to Radha Krishna. But somehow they became too much involved in sin. So then they may take another birth here in a lower form. This is what the Mahajan Vani tells us. Because when one lives in Vrindavan and dies in Vrindavan, Krishna says, Mam Alayam Yanti. Says anyone dies in my Vrindavan, they come to me. So how they come? That's a guarantee of Krishna. They come to me. If someone dies in Vrindavan, they will go to Goloka Vrindavan to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. When and what life that transition will be made from the samsara to the Vaikuntha, that can't be said. But Krishna's promise and guarantee is there. This is a speciality of the privilege. If Krishna gives the privilege to live in the Dham, and if Krishna grants the privilege to die in the Dham, then he also gives his guarantee. You, mamalyam yanti param, you will come to me. And how, so that's a very reassuring and good thing. But it's all day to day, it's in his hands. Anything can drive us out of Vrindavan. Disease, commitments, children, education, money, aparad, so many things. And ultimately, Krishna's will. So many lessons, hard to say on the automatically say, but these are some ideas and experiences and we've had while living in Vrindavan. It's certainly a very fast way to get to the goal. It's one of the five most important limbs of bhakti is to live in the holy Dham of Krishna, like Vrindavan. And so you can read that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this Panchanga Bhakti. It says, Alpasparsha Bhava Upajai. Just a slight touch of these items, then the bhava will manifest, appear in the heart by the mercy of Krishna. So that's a very powerful benediction and powerful quality of Brajavas. So if that's true, which it is, then if one has the privilege to live here, he can understand it. It will be a very powerful experience. Much more powerful than anywhere else. As it's not saying that about living anywhere else and doing a little bhakti and getting so much benefit. It's just saying by living in Vrindavan, Vrindavan Vas, then this boon and benediction can be there and contain Krishna, Bhav and Prema. So that means, this verse means that Vrindavan is very powerful. So if you can stay, you can imagine living here 1 year, how powerful it is. And then 5 years and 10 years. Then again 50. Four months of our time on Earth is only 8 hours in the heavenly planets. In Chaturmasya, the devatas rest once a year, well, it's once in our year, for 4 months. Right? It's called Devashayani. The beginning of Chaturmasya is called Devashayani Ekadasi. And then the last Ekadasi is called Uttan. Uttan means to get up. So they sleep 8 hours. Deva sleeps 8 hours. Manush sleeps 8 hours. Devas sleep 8 hours and play. We sleep 8 hours and work, hoping that someday we'll get to play. But before we get to play, we have to say goodbye. Ole. We have to say ole. Spanish phrase, ole. Some difference between swarga and the bhuloka. So that's time. 4 months of our time is just one night sleeping for them. So time is relative to the position in the universe. So 50 years living in Vrindavan, then 50 more, 50, 60, 70, ends up 200 years living in Vrindavan, then Mukti Prapti, Vaikuntha Prapti, Radhakrishna Nitya Seva Prapti. The proposition, I mean, the possibility is, so, let's say, the proposal is so grand, and the stakes are so high, and what you can gain is so inconceivable and astonishing. It's certainly worth remembering that when one is living in Vrindavan and experiencing some difficulty or setbacks or big obstacles or whatever. What I say here about the Vrindavan experience, even there's websites like that, Vrindavan experience, very popular site. But I wouldn't call it the Vrindavan experience. I mean, that's nice, a nice title, but it's already there. But I never thought of it like that. I call it the Vrindavan movie. You know, movie means cinema. And this movie is going on. And when you come here, then, and you live here, then you get a part in the movie. You're moving in the movie. You're in the cinema. You're in the movie. You're one of the cast of millions, and let's say thousands. Now, the movie script has already been written by Krishna and Radharani. The lines have been written, and the script, the characters, the scenes, the fight scenes, the love scenes, all the scenes are there. The music score, the dance score, everything has been written. Now, in this Vrindavan movie, what part we play is that we live in Vrindavan, we enter the theater of Vrindavan, cinema hall, we sit down, and we watch the movie. We have no control over the way the movie's going. The movie's going in a sad way, and the lead actress, or hero or heroine, whatever they say, she's crying and sad, and the hero ran away. We can't beat up the hero. We can't jump on the screen and slap the hero. We want to, but we can't. We have to watch. So this Vrindavan movie, you take your seat and you just watch, and everything will happen to you. You will be directed, you'll be moved this way and that way. You're just a player on the stage of the Vrindavan movie of Radha and Krishna. But this movie, you're sitting here watching the movie from your seat. But as you're watching the movie, you see Vrindavan, you see Radhakund, and you see yourself in the movie. So Yashoda saw Krishna. Inside of Krishna's mouth, she saw the universe, and finally she saw Gokul, and she saw Krishna, and she saw herself. Krishna's inside of everything and outside of everything. So you're sitting and watching a movie, you say, hey, that's me. Oh, look what's happening to me now. Oh, he's doing, oh, that's, Krishna's very, very hard scene here. Very difficult act, very difficult scene here. I wonder what's going to happen to this, to me. What am I going to live through this scene or what? So then it goes from scene to scene and setting to setting and players to player, and the movie just rolls on. And one fine lifetime, the movie's over, the lights come on, and you walk out of the theater and you're in the spiritual world, and you're Citadel. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.